You're listening to the podcast of American Women's Wrestling. What is up, wrestling friends? This is Derek Lewandowski on AWW Radio, and I'm here with our guest today, head coach of Life University. Ashley, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. You know, I had a very busy schedule planned, but I'm going to take some time out of my social distancing to talk with you. So.
Busy schedule, like looking at your social media feeds and that type of busy?
Social media feeds, but also getting caught up on paperwork from the nationals that never happened, trying to still talk to recruits, just different busy. College coaches are not a 9-to-5
working,
no matter what.
So you were joking around. You actually have a lot of stuff to do during the social distancing period.
There is always something to do, 100%.
I'm sure. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Of course, you're down in Georgia. I'm up in New York, and you know, things are wild up here. I think we have the most confirmed cases, for a state in the United States. You know, what's it like down there in Atlanta right now?
Well, traffic has never been less bad, so that's the one positive is that when you pull up the map, everything is green. There are no red stalls on the Atlanta highway, which probably has never been able to be said before. I think it's probably the same as most places. Schools are shut down. There's no toilet paper on the shelf. it's pretty much the same. I think some people feel better because the CDC is right here in Atlanta. Maybe some people feel worse because the CDC is here in Atlanta. But it's mostly quiet and trying to find ways not to be bored.
Now, I went out yesterday to get some, last minute groceries. And, of course, the meat up here is all gone. Everything in the meat section's gone. But I also noticed that the egg shelves are just totally vacant now. Is that something that's happened down there?
I think you definitely see that at the bigger stores like Walmart and Kroger and Publix. I know that you guys don't necessarily have everyone has Walmart, but
right.
At the smaller stores like a Sprouts or a Whole Foods, I think it's a little bit easier to get those things. Now it's four times more expensive, but they do exist.
Right.
We've been hitting some of our smaller farmers markets. So the stuff that's off the beaten path is, things are more accessible, but you definitely are seeing the decline. So I would say pretty similar all around.
Now, I know a lot of campuses have, gone digital, and some of them are actually saying they're going to, get the students back together before the end of the semester. But a lot of campuses are just saying we're done for the semester as far as, students in classrooms, but we're going to go digital. What has Life University done?
So Life is a little bit, we're similar, but we're not. So we're on the quarter system. So we have three quarters in a year instead of two semesters. Our second quarter, our finals were always set to be next week. And so we've gone to remote, it's not even remote instruction right now. We've just basically suspended class and finals will go on as usual. They just won't be tested on the things that they would have covered this week during instruction.
Got it.
We have our normal spring break, but we are set, worst case scenario, to begin remote instruction again on April 6th. That's the worst case scenario, obviously, following CDC guidelines. And if we can get back on campus, we will. But we go to school through the second week of June normally. So it doesn't make sense for us just to call everything off because our normal year, we've got a third quarter.
Okay.
So it's a little different in that way.
Got it. Yep. Makes sense. Well, one of the reasons I wanted to have you on is you're in the NAIA, and, it was heartbreaking to, see the reports come down that the NAIA was canceled, and just to know that, a lot of athletes, this is their senior year, and of course, they were training to win national titles and all that. So I wanted to talk to you about that, and, how did that go down with your team, and, can we get the play-by-play on – how did you share that and how did they take that?
Well, I think so for our team, it's important to remember that getting to the NAIA national tournament for us has been an adventure for the past 2 years. Last year, we were stuck in the Denver airport for 40 hours during the great blizzard of 2019.
And, oh, wow.
Yep, it was. And we had to go. So we went to Denver. We were stuck there. Wayland Baptist was stuck there as well. And then
because it's way up in Jamestown.
It's way up in Jamestown,
North Dakota.
Exactly. And the only way to get straight to Jamestown by flight is through Denver, and there are only two flights a day. So the blizzard hit Denver and the Denver airport shut down, and then Denver reopened, but the blizzard went to Jamestown. So then Jamestown was shut down. So we ended up in 2019 getting the last flight to Kearney, Nebraska. Some of the USA Wrestling officials drove over from Omaha, which is not a short trek, to pick us up and then drive us the 10 hours, I think it was, north to Jamestown. So our adventure last year was already one for the record books. And I think I know my athletes were not excited to do it again, but they figured what else could go wrong? What could be wrong?
Little did they know.
It feels like the universe is ragging on my hashtag of what's next, because it's okay, well, I'll show you. But this year, our first flight out of Atlanta, our plane had a mechanical failure. So we missed our flight to Jamestown because of, you know, having to change over. And as soon as they said everybody has to get off the plane, my whole team went, yep, that makes sense. That feels right. We had to split up our team and go. Half of us went to Fargo. Half of us went to Jamestown. Coaches, not myself, because I'm on crutches during all of this because I had surgery 4 weeks ago.
And
so some of our coaches at 11 o'clock at night drove over to Fargo from Jamestown, which is about an hour and a half, picked up the other half of our poor stranded team, drove them back, and got into Jamestown at 2 o'clock in the morning on Thursday morning. So
that's all this year's adventure.
Right.
Wow.
So this year already started as an adventure for us, but my ladies are pretty good about letting stuff roll off them. And even if they get frustrated, they try to joke about it, sort of that laugh or cry. We're going to laugh to hide the pain sort of feeling.
Yeah.
So we had canceled our morning workout because half of our girls got in at 2 o'clock in the morning. So I was like, let's let them rest. We're going to have a 1:30 workout, double check weight, all of the normal things that you would do.
And now, would this have been on a Thursday?
This would have been on Thursday. Yes, sir. On Thursday, the ladies are asleep. Coaches never sleep. So Christian and I are up and we're getting things set up. The NAIA had already canceled there's supposed to be a formal get together the night before the tournament with very light food for reasons. And then I wish the NAIA would put the banquet after the tournament, but that's a different talk for a different day. And there's also an event, it's called the Champions of Character event, where each school sends their Champion of Character nominee to do a community service event with children in the area, which is awesome. And this year was going to be basically the Good Character Olympics. So the wrestlers were going to sit down with elementary school kids and talk about, they had five different tenets of being a champion of character, what that looks like. They were going to go with the different rings. It was going to be great. The NAIA canceled that the night before because of CDC recommendations of trying to get, you know, things down as far as number of contacts people have with other people. We had also gotten an email, which I laughed a lot about, that went out to all NAIA coaches that said, during your contest, we'd rather you don't handshake. Fist bumps are okay. And as a wrestling coach, I laughed because I went, I know this is going out to everyone. And this makes sense maybe for bowling or tennis. But for us, I'm not going to shake hands, but then we're going to wrestle.
Then I'm going to put an underhook in and, you know, snap down front head and put my hand in your mouth.
Right, exactly. So as a team, we laughed a lot about that. But the NAIA had already started to make all of those accommodations. I had just gotten an email from the NAIA that said, hey, we're limiting the amount of fan base that's here. Please let us know you only get 6 people to watch per official party member. And I was like, well, great. We have 3 total. So perfect. Our 3 total fans coming in. So it's fine. And it was less than an hour later that the NCAA started canceling basketball conference tournaments. And at that point, Christian and I and Victoria, because Victoria Francis is our Tara Von Devere fellow and assistant coach. And she was at NAIA's with us. And we all looked at each other and we said, this isn't going to be good. If the NCAA is canceling conference basketball, this isn't going to go well for us. And it was probably within the next 15 minutes that we got the official email that said that it was canceled. So as coaches,
yeah, on our end, the dominoes started falling really fast. Like, of course, we're just getting like news updates and social media updates. And it just seemed like literally within 6 to 12 hours, all these dominoes started to fall, you know, not just in the wrestling community either. I mean, in every sport was hit by this. So, but you're actually in Jamestown the day before your women are cutting weight and the news came
yeah,
down.
So, you know, one of the first things that we did, so actually it was one of our parents of our seniors that reached out to us and said, hey, we just got word. And I said, yep, I know, I'm getting ready to call them in. And they had already told their daughter. And so everybody starts to come in and she's obviously upset. The other ladies don't know what's happening. I have a pretty solid general rule that until something is set in stone, I try not to worry them. Right.
Right.
I mean, I'm not a parent, but I'm guessing it's similar. Until if something bad might happen, you don't really tell your kids about it until you know it's real.
Of course.
And so kind of the same thing. And when plans change, I'll tell them. But if things are rocky, I don't let them know. So during all of this, we don't know what's going to happen in those few hours leading up to it. We hadn't said anything because I didn't want them to have those highs and lows of we're off, we're on, things are bad, things are good. So we called the team in and I mean, everyone was upset. A lot for themselves. I mean, obviously they all wanted their chance. Then there was a lot of our team that was upset for our two seniors because this was it for them. And so we saw a lot of that. I, you know, as a coach was upset for them for everything. I also get the fortunate, unfortunate experience of my master's degree was actually in public health, with a focus on epidemiology and how infectious diseases spread. So I, you know, if I wasn't coaching wrestling, my dream was to be at the CDC right now. So it's interesting to look at it from the other side. It's like a choose your own adventure novel that I chose wrestling instead of, hey, turn to page 16, you're a wrestling coach. Turn to page 2020, you're in the CDC. What does it look like?
Right.
So, you know, I was upset for them, but also having the public health thoughts and trying to rationalize it in my brain, which it makes sense. It all makes sense to me, but that doesn't make it not disappointing. But trying to talk to the ladies and, hey, I know we're disappointed, but it's serious. And this is why it's serious, but also this is why you shouldn't be worried. But these are, you know, so talking about the real life effects and trying not to minimize the disappointment, but also trying to keep it in perspective. And I don't know that I did a great job all of the time. You know, I'm a person too. And it's just dealing with it the best that we can. So
the seniors we're talking about, Erica Sotelo and Asia Cortez.
Yep. Those are my two.
Okay.
And you know, it's the good for us is that we did compete in the WCWA nationals and they both did great. They both took third. Asia took fourth. We had a third and fourth at 1:30. So, I know they're different people, but in my head, sometimes they're the same person. But you know, they both placed there. Asia's name will go up as an All-American on our wall at school. She'll be on our wall of fame. So she's not losing that. But you know, she wanted to do better. She took eighth at NAIA's last year and she wanted more. And Erica was a national finalist last year and wanted more. And so it is disappointing, to not have that moment. But also I know that they worked as hard as they could. So there's no regret of, hey, could I have worked harder and done better at WCWA's? And now I'm left with these regrets. It's the sadness, but they don't have to hold any responsibility on themselves because they didn't accomplish it. If that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, they're both walking out of their college careers, two-time All-Americans, is that right?
Well, the NAIA said only top four last year were All-Americans. The others were honorable mention. But for all intents purposes, you know, both two-time national placers, which is great.
Right.
You know, they've cemented their legacy in our program, not just by their placing, but by who they are as people, which I think is important.
Right.
But that doesn't take away from the fact that just to be blunt, it sucks. And there's no way to sugarcoat it. It just does.
Well, it sucks, but pandemics suck too.
Pandemics suck a lot. And you know, we talked about that and talked about, you know, I'm not worried about anybody on our team falling out and, you know, and dying from this, just quite honestly. But at the same time, us being around so many people and being in so many airports and going home and being around people again, like, don't go breathe on your grandma. You don't want your exposure to affect somebody else and looking at that bigger picture. But, you know, to say, hey, your suffering is less doesn't, like, I don't want to minimize that for them either. They have worked their 4 years, their whole college career, not just mine, but all of the athletes that missed out. And for that to be taken away is hard. The best comparison I have is in 2001, when the World Championships got canceled in New York. You know, we had these athletes who had worked so hard, and then 9/11 happened, which I think we can all say is, even if it's not the same as a pandemic, is about as close as you can get as far as its effect on the entire world. And to say that those athletes didn't lose something by losing their chance to compete on home soil at the World Championships would be minimizing the work that they've done. So I would say it's probably a similar feeling.
Yeah. I mean, on one level, you know, it's really a time to love our neighbor. I think that's a really positive narrative in this. It's just you know, even if it doesn't personally affect us in a way where we feel threatened, our, you know, discipline and responsibility with our social distancing is a way that we can love other people and help other people and minimize the risk for other people. So, you know, other people, for the most part, are in danger and may suffer, you know, especially depending on the choices that people who are less threatened make. And at the same time, we don't want to minimize, like you're saying, we don't want to minimize the fact that these athletes in the NAIA and NCAA, you know, they worked for years, you know, sometimes with childhood dreams working toward these moments, and just to have it all taken away in a moment, there's no way to candy coat that. That really hurts.
Absolutely. And I think it's exactly what you're saying. You know, I know that I can't think of one person that would be okay with saying, yep, I had my tournament and I was a national champion, but because of that, somebody was exposed and somebody else got horribly sick. None of our athletes would ever want that. So it's hard. It's definitely hard. And there's no other way to say it. So now for some, it's the coming to terms with, hey, my college career is over. And that was it for me. And there are other athletes, you know, who have to refocus. What does it look like? What does it look like now? I mean, for somebody like Precious, you know, and for our own coaching staff, for somebody like Victoria, hey, Olympic trials is still happening. And then that postponed, and the feelings that come with the ever changing landscape. I mean, in virus time, 3 hours is like 3 months. Things can change so rapidly. And we saw that all last week. And I think we continue to see that. The uncertainty of, hey, I'm ready to compete again in 2 weeks. Okay, now I have to compete again in ? And then, oh, well, here's a new maybe date, but that's still a maybe because anything could change in the meantime. That uncertainty is really hard for an athlete who tries so hard to be disciplined and to be ready to go. But I think wrestlers are probably the best out there set up to readjust to these things, because that's what we do on the mat all the time, right? Something changes, you have to readjust.
Right,
and
exactly.
It's just bringing that to a larger scale.
Yeah. And, you know, I think one of the challenges too, especially for athletes like Victoria and Precious, is, you know, you're always working toward being your optimized self, your peaked self at the right time. And with the questions of postponement. And also, I know, you know, my daughter, Joy, and the McKendree squad, they can't even get in the wrestling room now. And so they're having to figure out how to work out, maybe get outside and do Rocky workouts, you know, and get in the garage and, you know, do pull-ups on the beam. I'm not sure, you know, that there's all these adjustments they have to make with the periodization and the resources.
I mean, and I think that's the same all over. Like, our wrestling room is obviously closed. USA Wrestling has shut down a lot. I mean, the OTC was shut down last week, though honestly, last week feels like a month ago at this point. And so all of our athletes, and I'm sure every coach is doing it, like, we've sent our athletes body weight workouts, things to different things to run, different sports psych things they can do at home. Remember, watch your nutrition in this way, but, you know, and get sleep. Don't use this time to, even if you're not competing at Olympic trials, don't use this time to eat Doritos and Oreos, because that doesn't make your body feel good. And then you're more likely to get sick, especially since you're staying up till 4 to watch Netflix on the 95th series that you're on. So, you know, but that's going to tax your body. And so now you're more likely to get sick, even if you aren't training. You know, we still have to keep ourselves in good shape and keep ourselves well nutritionally so we can stay well to fight off, you know, different, whether it's the big corona or whether we're looking at a cold or the flu or, you know, anything. Right. This isn't the time to let your body get outside of its optimum conditioning.
Good advice. Now, I know just listening to conversations happening in the wrestling community, there is some talk in the NCAA about, you know, extending eligibility for some of the seniors that didn't get to wrestle the postseason. I don't know if that's actually going to happen. Is there any conversation like that in the NAIA?
The most conversation we've had is kind of that. It could be a possibility, maybe, question mark. Yep. Typically, from what I've seen, the NAIA tends to follow what the NCAA does in some ways. And so I imagine if the NCAA athletes get it, the NAIA athletes might get it. Now, that's not for sure. The NAIA is obviously its own entity and makes its own rules. And so I don't know. We don't know. We're operating right now like it doesn't happen. And for us in particular, you know, we have two seniors that are affected. Asia is actually graduating early. She's graduating a quarter early. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that she would want to try and extend school. You know, she's looking at starting her fighting career. And so I don't know that she would want to extend school to do it. Erica's looking at being a grad assistant next year, which is awesome. But another year of training as a college athlete is taxing. Even if you want it, that's a lot on your body and a lot mentally, especially when you thought you were done. So to have to redo all of that is tough. And that's just the individual athlete. And I'm sure, I know the NCAA is looking at it and NAIA and institutions, but it's hard because scholarships, not just the limits, but what can a school afford? And is it fair? It's not fair for me to take away a senior's money just because they have an extra year now, but also I have money that I've already have signed athlete freshmen with. So how do I do that with the budget and all of those other things? So there are a lot of pieces and cogs that go into it. And I don't know that there's a right answer. I mean, I don't know what the right answer is, if there even is one, if there are varying degrees of right. It's because we have to do right by the athletes, but also as institutions, we have to take care of our schools and we have to take care of the other 30 athletes that are on the team. So it's a lot.
Yeah, it's tricky on a lot of fronts. And, you know, I've heard a lot of athletes trying to process that, you know, if it happened, like some of them, they're already set to start their careers or take a job or buy a house and move into the married season and, you know, shut down wrestling and, you know, just change the whole climate of their life. So you're right. It's almost like it delays. It's like a time warp. It puts you back a year. If you want to go back that year, if that eligibility becomes a possibility, it just creates a lot of,
tricky decisions. I'm going to go with, I'm really glad that I don't have to make those decisions. That's going to be my number one thought right now. And whatever they give me, we're going to work with, within the best of our ability. I know that us as coaches of our team, and I know that our athletic department is very set on doing whatever they can to honor our seniors specifically. For us, all the other winter sports, not that the Nationals was done, but for our teams, it was. And so for us, the two winter sport pieces that were missing were Erica and Asia. So our athletic department wants to make sure that we honor their work and recognize their accomplishments and who they are and what they've been for our program. Of course, that's not to minimize what the spring sports are going through, because it's the same thing, right? Everybody's spring sports are canceled, and whether they get and they've already gotten eligibility back, but it's the same thing. A senior lacrosse player might be ready to start their life and, like you said, get married or have a job or just not be under the grueling training every day of being a college athlete. So even though they already have it, they have to decide what to do. And institutions have to be able to afford to keep star seniors when they were already counting on paying star freshmen. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Tricky stuff. Well, can you take a step back and maybe just talk about your season? You know, you finished second as a team at the WCWAs. Am I counting right? You had 6 All-Americans. You had a national champion, Julie Vidalin. Looks like the last ranking, did you finish ranked 3rd in the NAIA? So, I mean, it was a really great year.
Pretty, I think that's all pretty close. I think we were 4th in the last NAIA ranking. So, in the mix. I think for us, this season had a lot of highs and lows, but was very exciting overall. We started our year super strong, and then we hit some blows. I think you guys talked about in the podcast, Peyton Preston not being really a human. I forget if it was a stem. Yeah,
I was a stem. She's a stem. Yeah, you can't convince us otherwise either. We had a
mechanical failure. Peyton after hurt herself at Missouri Valley, and so we're working on her medical redshirt year. And so losing Peyton hurt us, because then we were out a 16-pounder for our duels pretty much all year, and we were bumping around. We were expecting to have Haley Finn back. She got hurt at WCWAs last year, and is just working on her comeback. And so not having her meant we had to bump around. So, you know, yeah, shout out to New York. She's up in upstate with her kitten, living her best life right now. So that was as devastating as those two things were for the team, were also the opportunities that our ladies had to step up, but we also had those great moments. I mean, Gabby Hamilton stepped onto the mat and just started terrorizing people in 30 seconds or less every time she stepped on the mat. She looked great. Alex Enriquez was hurt all year last year. Her only tournament was NAIA Nationals because she doesn't have an extra year because of transferring. And she just walked out, and her first competition at Missouri Valley just went out and started beating previous All-Americans. Just, hey, here I am. And just, you know, shocked everybody. Asia stepped it up. I mean, we had Julia, Erica, Asia, and Alex as 4 drill partners all year. And I think that was great. You could see how much them pushing each other in the room helped them individually. Jordan Nelson. Yep.
Can you just pause a second and talk about the importance of good partners?
So I make a very silly, but I think apt joke when I'm talking to people. You can be the best wrestler in the world, but if your drill partner is literally a dirty sock, there is no way you're getting better. It's just not going to happen. Right. You have to have somebody to push you. If for no other reason, for that mental edge of trying to be better. If you never have to push in the room, you never have to push yourself to that next place. You never fail. So you don't know what happens when you get on the mat and there's adversity. You don't know how to deal with that. And I think we've seen that happen as far as how important that is on a couple different teams this year. I think you saw it with us. I think you saw it with McKendry. I think in some cases you saw it with Campbellsville and King. Simon Fraser is a room full of hammers and all of the bags of nails. So you see those athletes pushing each other every day, and that not being guaranteed anything. So you have to fight for it all the time. And then, you know, the idea of hopefully no one pushes you like your teammate. Our team cares about each other, but we always remember when I step on the mat against an opponent, they don't want me to win. Nobody told them that I was supposed to win, and they're not going to take it easy on me. So I want to push you harder. So that way, when you step out against someone who really doesn't care about you, that nothing they can give you is going to be worse than what I've given you. So that way you're ready for anything.
How does that affect recruiting, you know, on two fronts? Like, what are you looking for? You know, I'm certain that you're looking for that depth, right? You want to recruit depth at each weight class, or at least around each weight class for that reason. And number two, is that a hard sell for, you know, a wrestler who wants to come right in and be the number one?
It can be. But I think the athletes that understand will go to those programs, and the athletes that don't You know, they'll go where what's best for them, but we've had that talk with athletes like, hey, in fact, I had a talk, I got off the phone with them right before you and I started talking. You're a great wrestler, but you're walking into a spot where your training partners are going to be Julia and Alex. They're the, you know, who placed number one and number three at WCWAs, and nothing's guaranteed. So is your goal to get better and to reach as high as you can, or is your goal to start right away? And the difference in that goal, right, I think a lot of times dictates where an athlete will go.
Right. Athlete. Can I circle back to Gabby Hamilton? I mean, just, you know, of course I met her at the MOVAL. She had a great, great tournament, you know, really made a splash there and let everybody know she's on the scene. She continued to have a great year. I know she took fourth in the WCWAs, but then at the Mid-South Conference tournament, didn't she go out?
She did. She did. She beat Alex Castillo from Campbellsville. I would like to say that seeding 191 was one of the worst experiences of my life. They had all beat each other at some point. I, as a wrestling fan, that's one of the weight classes I'm the most sad to not see compete. Not as a coach, not just as a fan. Yeah, right.
Try ranking them.
I'm on the ratings committee, so I do constantly. I feel like, but know, Castillo had beat Andrews. Andrews had beat Chi-Chi. Chi-Chi had beat Gabby, you know, and yep. And just
what a tangle,
you know, this dance of disaster. But no, Gabby's super funny. She understands sort of the job of the heavyweight. She knows that just the way the duels are set up, it always, she's the last match. So fair or not, it comes down to her. We've had a couple different talks, both with her and with the team, of like, hey, Gabby, if you lose and we can't win, you know, it's not your fault. Like, somebody else had to lose at some point to even put us in this position. So we've also had to talk with the team, like, right, hey guys, stop stressing Gabby out. Like, can you guys not make this so stressful on Gabby? It's exciting for the rest of the world, but please don't do this. You know, big shoulders, but heart is still soft. Don't make it explode. Help a lady out.
Yeah, I think we saw that firsthand, you know, on the NCAA side, the NCAA division at NCAA duels, when Sydney Kimber and Emily Q hit in the final match. And I mean, it was like razor thin criteria of who's going to win the national title.
And that, I think everyone else forgets how stressful that is for the heavyweight going into it.
Oh, I mean, all the pressure of your team and the season and the hopes and dreams, it's all right on you. Yeah, it's got to be.
Gabby, that's a stress for her. She also thrives on it, because Gabby's goals are to win for her team. She is never stronger than when she's doing it for the rest of the team. She doesn't want it for her. She wants it for them. And so in a lot of ways for us, I'm glad that she's the one that gets it, but I also would like her to be able to breathe occasionally. But one of the reasons, you know, that she's been, well, there's a couple different reasons she's been so tough this year. I mean, well, one, she was tough as nails coming in. There's no discounting that. But she's got, you know, our other coach for the women's team, Christian Flavin, he's not small. I joke that I actually recruited Gabby. We recruited her so Christian would have a training partner, because him and I doing moves together, I end up just thrown all around the place and the girls are worried about my life the whole time. But she has someone who's bigger than her to work with. And then, you know, Matt McCutcheon, I know sometimes women's wrestling doesn't pay as much attention to the men's side, but Matt McCutcheon's an All-American from Penn State who is in the Doctor of Chiropractic program at Life and works with the men's team. And somehow we kerfangled him to come over to our side. And so he'll come in a couple times a week and work with Gabby specifically because he's about the right size. So I don't know that many women's programs can say they've got a Penn State All-American on their coaching staff, but shout out to Matt. Thank you. And then, of course, Victoria.
Not bad.
Is there for Gabby. Now Gabby's there for Vic, too. It's definitely been helpful to her to have somebody Gabby's size. And, you know, always Jordan Nelson at 170. Joe and Gabby have been pushing each other and putting each other into uncomfortable spots all year to keep pushing that forward. And that's another one of the reasons I think Jordan finally, like, this was her breakout year. This was a little bit of her coming out party at MOVAL. She She beat Hannah Gladden in a super, super exciting, match. I think it was the quarterfinal at MOVAL, or maybe it was, could have been, yeah, it was the quarter. And then she lost to Yelena from North Central, who is her own monster. But then Jordan came back and,
checked
Bullock from McKendry in the third and fourth match, or maybe it was fifth and sixth. I forget. There's been a lot of things that have happened. Yeah. So, I mean,
that's
but an awesome
tournament,
right? And then, again, like Gabby struggled a little bit with our local rivals, lost to Mariah twice, but then at conference ended up beating her. When you look at the results, it says DQ. It was the three cautions is what the disqualification was. But for Jordan to be able to get that win, like, I know, I wish it wouldn't have been like that. I wish we had gotten one more at NAIAs. They were set to meet in the semis if everything else went according to plan. That's another one I would have loved to see. But, you know, again, back to the training partners, having Victoria in the room and having Gabby in the room has pushed Jordan to a whole new level. So I'm excited to see what happens next year. But I'm also really, really sad to see Jordan leave after a year. So that one's going to be rough. But our recruits have bought into that too. Like Katie Moore from New York, also another New York shout out. Katie Moore is excited to come in with Jordan, and is excited to come in and work with Gabby and work with Vic. And Matt is excited to have another big girl in the room to keep working with. And so that's another one that's just going to be a solid push at our upper weights.
Well, congrats on landing Katie Moore. You know, as somebody that's been on the coaching staff for the New York Fargo team, you know, I've had front row seat to watching her development, and she's just tough. She's always in the mix. You know, of course, last summer, I'm sure you know, she wrestled Fargo with a broken hand, you know, made the blood round, but, you know, still just really battled and right there with some of the best women in the country.
Yeah, we got
it's going to be exciting
Katie
to watch her
when
college
she was
career.
A sophomore at the SEM tournament. We had like a road trip around the country with Life University. I don't think I spent more than 3 days in a row at my house that year, my first year, but got to meet Katie, and just over the past couple of years have formed such a solid relationship with her. So I'm excited to have her in the room every day. For no other reason, I like being around Katie. Katie is a great person. But I think that's all of our team. We want good wrestlers, but we genuinely recruit people we like being around, if for no other reason than because I know I'm going to be stuck in the airport or in Jamestown for 5 days with nothing else to do. So I need people that I can be around.
Or having to go home
well,
after they canceled the NAI
because
of the coronavirus.
Our team, we had 19 people, so we couldn't get enough seats on one flight. So we were still stuck in Jamestown until Sunday morning. We started having a thumb wrestling tournament with gloves. And hand sanitizer, obviously, as you have to. We did get kicked out of the hotel lobby, but that's a different conversation. But, you know, just trying to make the best of it. I can't tell you who it is, but I am excited for someone else who's committed to us. I think you're going to be excited when you find out who it is. So just a random teaser. Stay tuned for more information from Life University, potentially someone from your neck of the woods. It'll be a good one.
Oh boy. I've got an idea. I'm not going to say anything, but I've got maybe just a little idea. So stay tuned. You're going to hear it right here on AWW radio and AWW newsfeed. That'll be exciting to see. Can I circle back to Victoria Francis? You know, she's such a fantastic wrestler at the senior level. Can you just talk about, you know, what kind of a difference she's making? And what having a wrestler of her experience and caliber, join your wrestling room.
Vic's another good example of what I was saying before. Vic is just good people. Victoria is just an amazing human being.
Yeah.
In general, wrestling aside, I love Victoria Francis. I think she's phenomenal. But as far as in the room, you know, having someone of that caliber, put the actual wrestling and technique and the push on the mat aside. We're going to set all that aside. Our athletes, it's similar to, so when you're a parent, you don't know anything, right? Your kids don't think you know anything. Forget all the life you've lived and survived. You don't know anything. And then it's the same as they're going into college. They think their college coach knows everything until they get to college, and suddenly we don't know anything anymore because we're just their college coaches. Who are we? So sometimes they forget that we've lived successful wrestler lives. But Victoria's doing it right now. And she's been through so much adversity. And for our athletes to be able to sit down and talk to her, and she is so open and so honest, and in a lot of ways so vulnerable with them, and just says, this is exactly where I'm at, or where I was, and how I felt, and is able to talk to them about what she did to get through it. And she calls them out if they're doing something wrong, and she supports them if they're having a hard time. And to be able to see that someone that they respect so much deals with the same exact things that they do and is able to talk about it, I think gives the ladies a lot of confidence in their path and their journey. And lets them know that what they're doing is normal, and it doesn't let them get stuck in their own head as much.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's fantastic. Now you're recovering from surgery, you said. So when Ashley Sword is 100% and can get on the mat, Coach Ashley scraps really hard with who?
They'll call me out. From 101 to 191, they are constantly calling me out. So it'll probably be Julia, because you know, sometimes you got to shake your national champ up a little bit and let him know that I'm still bigger than them. But now it's for 30 seconds still bring at a time, because I'm also old, and that's fine.
Well, I mean, you did compete last year in the World Beach Games, right?
I got hurt the night before I left. I tore my meniscus the last night of training, and then I knew something was wrong, but didn't know what. So I was like, well, here we go. And worked on all the things that we tell them. Hey, like, take care of it. I was wrapped up on the plane. I spent my whole time in Qatar elevated and trying not to walk around. Spent a lot of time in the training room and with the doc while I was overseas. And so... So that's been a joy. I've told them, hey, you got to see me train to get ready for Worlds. You got to see me, they got to see all of the good, bad, the ugly, the being tired of eating squash every day because I was so focused on my diet and making sure I did all the right things. And I mean, they got to see me get frustrated in practice. There were definitely tears shed and sand kicked and all of the things, that happens when you're getting ready. And then they saw me compete, and they saw me recover from not being happy with how I did. And they've seen me have surgery, and now they're seeing me rehab from surgery. So it's a good way to show, hey, coach, I'm really frustrated because I'm hurt. Hey, same. Also, hand me my crutches because I can't walk. I think it's been good that way.
Right.
But, I mean, I'm excited. I'm excited to get back on the mat with Vic, with Joe, not Gabby. I'm afraid of Gabby. Censor that. Don't let them hear that. I told her one time, I said, you come at me and it takes everything in me. In my head, I'm like, I'm the adult. I'm not going to curl up in a ball. It's going to be okay. And then she wallops me, and it's just, oh, that really hurt. It's okay. Don't show fear. Don't show weakness. It's okay. So less Gabby. I'm excited to roll with Katie. I'm excited. You know, our GA for this year, Zoe White, was an All-American for us last year. I'm excited. Zoe is looking at getting back into competing again. Anna Naylor, who was a national finalist for the University of the Cumberlands, lives in Atlanta now and comes in and rolls around with us. I'm excited to wrestle with Anna. Anna is super funky.
Anna is funky.
And she is also the exact flavor of goofy that we look for on our team. So it's been a great fit, but I'm excited to work with Anna. I'm excited to work with Alex. I'm excited. Olivia Motley is coming in from Texas. She's already committed. I'm excited for our little girls too. Not to disregard the 101 pounder who thinks that she can beat me up, even though she's 101 pounds and I just sit on her, and that's fine. But I am excited to just get back on the mat with the team. They've been helping me. Haley Finn has been the best because I'll start to want to show something with my hands, and she comes up and stands behind me just to make sure I don't fall down, and I'm propped up on my crutches and showing them how to peel something off their neck or pull something off their head, or they're in a front headlock position and I'm laying on my back underneath them, showing them where their hands should be. So I'm just excited to be a whole person again. It's very much so.
Sounds a lot like a family.
But still,
One final topic, maybe we could talk about, you know, obviously things are growing fast. What's your take on all the changes in women's college wrestling? And specifically, I'd like you to talk about the WCWA, because I know you've been one of the biggest advocates for the WCWA, and I'd like to hear you, you know, your perspective on all that, and, you know, maybe make a case for the WCWA moving forward, if that's still on your heart.
I don't really have any answers as to where it's going. Because again, like you said, so much is in flux. I can tell you why I think it's important, which I hope others will see. So not that this is the most important part, but Terry Steiner and USA Wrestling seem to think it's important because it was an Olympic trials qualifier. So I feel like their opinion should count. Now there's reasons why they think it's important, but I feel like right. As college coaches, we can't throw away that USA Wrestling and our Olympic team coach thinks that it matters. But I think we saw with the split, both in the divisions at the national duels and with the split for the individual nationals, that in some cases there are some big drop-offs between 4 and 5. And it goes back to the same ideas as the practice partners, but iron sharpens iron. And in order to, I think having that mixed right. division of, you know, between JUCOs and NAIAs and all three divisions of NCAAs is a great way to test yourself at that competition and to continue to get better as a country, and to continue to get better as a team moving through things. And I think if we approach it kind of like the Midlands or the Southern Scuffle or a tournament where it's the best of the best coming at each other, I think that we're able to for our wrestlers to get better, and for our country to get better. And then the first time that you see somebody who's one of the best in the country is not when you get to world team trials. You get to hone those skills throughout the year. I think it's good for the sport to have that excitement and that question of what's going to happen, who's going to be the winner, because everybody is so strong. And to split ourselves in half into two small tournaments and to not have that one larger tournament, I personally think hurts the sport. That's just me.
What were your thoughts? I mean, mm-hmm. of course you brought your squad to the Missouri Valley Open.
Absolutely.
I mean, that certainly felt multi-divisional. You know, I don't know if there's a perfect context right now for multi-divisional wrestling.
Yep,
but
absolutely.
That certainly
and
felt like a lot of, you know,
I think
top teams were there.
That's exactly it. Now, I would have loved to see that be a two-day tournament. And I think it's going to have to be as NAIA starts to put in the six-match limit. And I'm sure NCAA will, like, six matches a day. They will as well. And I think the WCWA is something similar to that, but it's just closer to – it's more at the end of the year versus facing everybody at the beginning of the year. I think we saw how important the idea of that multi-divisional right. competition is by how many people were at Missouri Valley. I mean, Menlo was there, Eastern Oregon was there, Southern Oregon was there. Everyone from both coasts came. It was a gauntlet, and
it really
showed where you were at the beginning of the year and set the bar and made you raise your stakes. Maybe there were some girls who, I keep saying girls, I'm supposed to say ladies and be better, and I apologize. I think there were ladies out there who walked in and thought that they were at a certain place, whether they were incoming freshmen or whether they were returning All-Americans, and got hit with a hammer, figuratively, you know, and literally. And it was a wake-up call for where everything is. And I think that's great. I think we need that. And at the end of the year, I think sometimes we get into the, hey, well, who's tougher, who's stronger, what would have happened? And we don't have those questions if we have that big tournament at the end of the year. And it's like make it an all-star tournament. You know, All-Americans right. from both divisions, maybe have it after the Nationals and make it and it's, you know, it's
bragging
really
cool.
rights, and it's fun and it's exciting. And I think then we add another opportunity for a qualifier for a world team or an Olympic team trials. And I think having those opportunities is always important for our athletes. And it's just another way to keep it in there.
Right. Great stuff. Well, Coach, thank you so much for your time. I got to say, too, you've got probably one of the best, you know, wrestling names for any female coaches out there. I mean, having a last name of Sword, that's got to give you a little extra, like, intimidation points when you step out on the mat. Like, oh my gosh, I got to wrestle somebody with a last name Sword.
Misspell it or mispronounce it. They start going Sworde. It's a word in the English language. It's an actual word.
It's a word. But,
if nothing else, right. it gives my team bragging rights. I get to be a meme more often than not. There was something the other day about naming your knife Stabatha, and what do you name your sword? And somebody put Slashly, and I said, yep, that's me, Slashly Sword, obviously. So my mom was ahead of her time
with
her
meme skills.
She just had no idea. So,
way to go, Mom. Well, again, Coach, thank you for your time, and good luck and success to you and your program, and navigating these strange waters we're in right now with the social distancing. But you know the wrestling community as well as I do. We're gonna, like a cat, we're gonna land on our feet and come out of this.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I'm sure that's gonna be the same with you and your program.
And stay tuned to all of our social media stuff. We'll be putting a lot of, well, one, some big secret signing information, but also we'll try and put a lot of goofy entertainment things up or workout stuff up to try and keep people from being bored and getting stir crazy. Sure. So our,
could you throw some of your social media handles out there?
Wrestling. And our Instagram page is LifeUWWR. Everyone is also free to follow my personal accounts, just Ashley Sword on Facebook or Ashley Sword WW on Instagram. Mostly it's the same content plus dogs on my personal page. So feel free. Yep. It's exactly the same plus my dogs.
Yeah, so I've seen like that. Dogs, yeah.
Yes. She has,
well, you and Victoria Francis, dogs, both.
They are her godchildren pretty much. So it's a good fit.
All right. Well, thanks again, Coach.
Thank you
and
so much.
You have yourself
one.
A great day, and I'll let you Bye-bye. Get back to your work. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for listening to AWW Radio.